Hello and welcome to Future You, the podcast brought to you by graduate careers experts Prospects. I'm your host, Emily Slade, and this episode is mostly brought to you from DigiFest 2024, a two-day event held by JISC, hosting keynote speaker sessions, panels, and workshops, all looking at the future landscape of the education sector. Our team were on the ground interviewing people about artificial intelligence, how it influences their work or studies, how they use it, and what they think about it. Meet Hannah, an undergraduate law student in her third year at Queen's University Belfast. We began by asking how she uses AI alongside her studies.
It's changed, well, a lot of the writing parts of my assignments. So I don't tend to use AI for my research too often, but when it comes to actually putting essays together, which is very heavily essay-driven doing a law subject, I tend to use it as a synonym finder. So I might have used interests so many times in my essay, put it into ChatGPT, get it to give me a list of synonyms for that. So I usually use it to assist my writing and then as a spell check and grammar check at the end. I'm actually not very explored in the different generative AI platforms that there are. I have only used ChatGPT. I know there's a lot of other ones out there that may be more beneficial to my subjects. I know that ChatGPT can be limited for legal research particularly. But yeah, I haven't explored enough yet, so I would like to. I tend to use it as a difference to Google search. I find it like a better Google, basically. So I can put in a more complex question that searching into Google or Safari or something won't be able to understand. It will just pick out keywords from it. And I just find it streamlines that. And so I can just dump all the questions I have in my head into a generative AI platform. And it'll give me an actual answer from it. It'll work out kind of the mess that the question had been.
We then asked, what is the worst thing about using ChatGPT?
How it makes up legal cases and statute. And it isn't good for actual law knowledge at the moment. And especially because the law is ever changing and it's developing every single day. And especially the free version of ChatGPT is limited in its database. So it doesn't know up to date things. So it might be telling you, this is the law, but it changed a week ago in another case. So it doesn't keep giving you up to date answers.
And finally, we asked what her advice would be to any student new to AI.
I think, first of all, turn to any university guidelines that you've got just to know what you can actually use it for at the time, even though these are changing quite often. But then when you actually get to use it as a starting point and not your finished piece, and use it as a tool to assist your work rather than be the thing that writes the work for you. I think one of the big things is that in essay writing, you will be better than what a generative AI platform can write. You have done the research, you have done the lectures, you've had information from professors about how to write an essay. So you will be better at the actual critical thinking and thought than ChatGPT would be. But it doesn't say that you can't use it for ideas and starting points and as a tool that might help you to craft the best possible answer you can.
Callum McCallion is a computer science student in his final year at Ulster University. We asked him how AI has changed the way he studies.
Well, it's allowed me to develop a lot of skills quite quicker. For example, in my final year, we have four new skills that we have to try to balance at once. It's allowed me to take those skills and develop in a much rapid pace by developing in a more personalized manner. So we have large classes, sometimes 140 people in the class. It's being taught the one single way. I may not understand that. There's some other students may not understand in that specific way. So it allows us to take the actual course content and learn it in our own way in a more personalized approach. Hopefully so it grasps skills a lot easier than it does other people. I use multiple different AIs for different use cases, whether it's image generation, I could use DALL-E. Sometimes use Claude whenever I'm helping create structures for my reports. And then I find that GPT-4, for example, is much better at code debugging and code generation. So it basically depends on the use cases, and some of these actual AIs itself has multiple different models for multiple different use cases. So there's a whole landscape of them. And I feel like a lot of people aren't aware of that. They think it's just a plug and play with GBT and that's all you're going to get, but that's not the case. It's completely a wide range that you have to be made aware of, and it could be a very specific use case, but I do believe the likes of Claude, for example, is quite good for human readability and for creating reports, but when it comes to more coding aspects, you can focus on our models then, for example. I think the best thing about AI is time management and that efficiency. It's allowed me to take months off my learning process, essentially. It's allowed me to develop skills in a way I could never believe, to be quite honest with you. If I have to learn a skill for my final project, for example, I might waste 2 weeks trying to actually do research into it and kind of test about with it, but it's allowed me to then plug in exactly what it is I want to learn and learn that in a more personalized way. And it's just the speed of skill development has skyrocketed, essentially. It used to take me a long time to actually get used to something and to develop that skill, and then a lot of time would have been wasted. But now I'm able to develop my soft skills on the side and kind of replace some time with developing those kind of hard skills, such as maybe JavaScript or whatever. It might take a few years to do that, but now I'm able to do it my own way and a way that clicks with me, essentially. The worst thing about AI is not enough people know about it. Again, some people, there's always going to be bad people out there who are going to try to use it in the wrong way. As long as we're aware of what can happen and what can be done with that, we can create safeguards. But again, I think the worst thing about it is just not enough people know about it. It's just people are feared of it. It can create a sort of intimidation factor, which shouldn't be the case. As long as people are made aware of the good and the bad, it shouldn't fear you. You know, it's something that's beneficial to everyone in the world, no matter what it is you do, no matter what use case you may have for it. But I think the actual resources out there available, given by educators, they're not good enough. They need to be expanded on, and they need to remove the fear, essentially, behind that.
And again, we asked what his advice would be to any student new to AI.
I would say definitely take it with a pinch of salt. It's not going to create the final draft for you. It's not going to give you what you're looking for. You have to know what you're looking for, and you have to be able to analyze what you receive and work with that. It's not a replacement of yourself. It's essentially an assistant or an extension to yourself. It's the difference between having a calculator and not having a calculator when solving a math equation. You know, it's there as a tool, not as to replace you.
Callum Upton is a PhD student in his third year at Aston University. His project is biochemistry related, looking at developing a new method of drug encapsulation and delivery based off of a biological macromolecule that's already available. We asked him how he uses AI alongside his studies.
So I use AI a lot for finding resources to use in my PhD or in papers that I've been writing. So the main one I use is Perplexity. So I'll plug in my research question or question I'm looking for the answer for. So one I might use quite commonly is, what's the structure of PVC13, which is the protein I look at? And what's really good about Perplexity is it gives you the sources that it uses to inform its answer. Now, I pretty much ignore the answer because the danger with AI is it might be slightly altered. You kind of have to take it with a pinch of salt. But what's good is the sources have taken me directly to the paper that I'm looking for. I don't have to sift through PubMed or Google Scholar. It's just directly there. I also use Design AI quite frequently for making posters. So I'm generally very busy all the time. If I can make a poster in 10 minutes rather than 2 hours, that's added significant value to, you know, my work life.
We asked what the best thing about using AI is.
It just makes everything you do significantly more efficient, but also to the same quality as it would have been done previously. So going back to the Perplexity example, being able to find the exact research paper I'm looking for in only 5 seconds, rather than 30 minutes going, looking at a paper on PubMed, quickly giving it a skim read. Okay, no, that's not the one. Let's go back, look at another paper on PubMed, skim read. Okay, that's not the one. Let's go back. It's made everything so much more efficient. So I can, rather than say I have a 2-hour block for reading papers, I could have found 5 really high value research outputs that can inform my research project, rather than spending that 2 hours sifting through a million papers and only getting one good one at the other end.
And the worst thing?
I think the worst thing is I can imagine kind of that inequity. So if some people from, say, a more affluent background, they might have the money to put into getting these premium products, which gives them a better service. And you can also view that as an unfair advantage. So there's kind of a digital poverty aspect to AI as well.
And any advice to students who are new to AI?
Don't view it as cheating, or don't view it as something you should feel guilty about, because it's a tool. Even in the last year, the attitudes towards AI have changed a lot. So I know students I was working with a year ago, if they were using AI, it might have been a bit more kind of hush-hush. Whereas now, mid-workshop, like a student might go, oh, look, I've used AI and I found this answer for that particular research question that you've got on the board over there. So even in a year, the perspective has already changed. So kind of don't feel like it's cheating. Don't feel guilty. Embrace it. It's going to be a tool that everyone's going to be using. Oh, well, everyone's already using it now, but even more so in 2, 3, 4, 5 years' time.
Let's move away from university now and take a look at how AI is being incorporated into the workplace.
I'm Abigail Hamilton. I am a mechanical engineering instructor, so I deliver a pretty vast curriculum from health and safety right the way through to mechanical principles. I think AI certainly within our framework, but at our level hasn't quite cascaded down yet. I think it's something that we talk about in terms of assessment and how AI may change how we assess as assessors, but it's not immediately on our horizon, I would say.
My name is Vadina Ipulwanta and I work for Leeds City College as a programme manager.
We asked, how has or will AI influence or change your job?
It already has. So I actually support a lot of content creation and lesson planning. So this could be for our island mentor staff members as well as teachers, really. And it starts with that, and it helps me with my day-to-day planning, and I'm currently doing an apprenticeship myself. So all of my research actually sourced where? Either Gemini or ChatGPT.
My name is Jason Thomas from the RNN Group. I'm the new Deputy Head of Digital. So I work with staff and learners looking at how we can improve things. I love AI. Ever since it came out, I've been using it quite a lot. I think, as a lot of people mentioned, it makes you more efficient, helps you get that work-life balance back. But I think it's probably one of the new technologies that you can actually get behind and staff can get on board with it and see how it's going to influence them and the learners really easily.
And the best thing about AI?
It would definitely be prompt engineering. I think, especially with AI, if you can get that right, you can access a wide range of AI tools. Ask the right question, get the right answer.
I'm Caroline Subert and I am a lead creative developer working in apprenticeships for engineering. So AI has a massive role in my job, particularly over the last 18 months. We use it on a day-to-day basis. It's not taking away from us any of the work, but it's just enhancing what we do, time-saving, helping us to create content. And we're just using it as a different sort of asset in our toolkit.
My name's Daniel Ashton. I'm the Senior Technical Specialist for XR Technologies at Sheffield Hallam University. How has AI influenced or changed my job? Quite a lot, I think. AI, everything that sort of we're looking at from a technical perspective, the technology, the software, AI is being built into that. So learners are getting that sort of first-hand experience with that technology. But it's also allowing us to use that to sort of help support teaching and learning, the elbow support, rather than directly with students as well. So it already has had influence.
That's all the interviews from DigiFest 2024. Thank you to everyone who got involved and shared their thoughts. If you'd like to share your thoughts on AI, or let us know how you're incorporating it into your studies, or if you have any questions about this episode, you can email us at podcast@prospects.ac.uk. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok. All the links are in the description. Make sure you give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're enjoying Future You, make sure to leave us a review. You can follow the link in the description. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.